Young entertainment professionals.
Create the community first and make them almost guilt them into, when you're in their town, they're like, man, he's giving me so much. I would feel so guilty if I didn't buy a ticket to go see the show. It's like you want to create actual relationships and friendships. Because think about when your best friend asks you to go somewhere, you're like, oh, I love this person so much. So even if I don't want to go to the mall, I'm going to go to the mall with Brittany or whatever. Like, I want to create that. But when I put out a single, they're like, oh, I'm kind of busy, but I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to download it. I'm going to tag a friend. I'm going to do whatever.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast, a series featuring the people cultivating the entertainment industry and how they discovered their career path with the help of YEP Nashville. Country singer-songwriter Spencer Crandell is with us. If you are an up-and-coming artist trying to figure out how to build your digital following, I know there are several of you out there, everyone is working on their following, this is the episode. Even if you have a following and you're like, I'm okay with that following, you'll hear about engagement and how to create connection with your fans that goes beyond a like and retweet. In 2 years, Spencer has grown his Instagram following from 700 to 200,000 followers. He has over 200,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, 2 consecutive independent releases charted number 1 and number 11 on iTunes country charts. He's performed with Dustin Lynch, Chris Lane, Morgan Wallen, Lanco, Josh Turner, and several others. His single, I Thought We Broke Up, is being streamed over 2,000 times per day. All of this is with no playlisting, just fans listening and sharing his music. We talk about the inspiration behind his most recent album release, titled More, featuring songs written with Rob Crosby, Scott Porter, Eric Dodd, and others. Visit SpencerCrandellMusic.com for tour dates, music news, and follow him on Instagram and Facebook for his music and entertaining vlog content. Now to our episode featuring Spencer Crandell. Well, we're going to jump right in.
Perfect.
Let's talk about your process of building a following first.
Yeah.
So, like, through Instagram, not playlisting from the get-go, like, mm-hmm. you organically built an audience.
Yeah.
What's that like, being a 20-something and being able to do that without, like, all the shortcuts? Not that other ways are shortcuts, but...
Sure. It was really hard to figure out at first. I was, for those of you who don't know who I am, I went to go play some college football. I'd never really done any songwriting or singing. I got 2 shoulder surgeries. I had no idea what to do with my life. And then I was like, I don't have an identity. I don't know what to do. So I started picking up the guitar and writing songs. And through that, started posting on social media. And I posted and got like 0 likes and then 1 like and 2 likes. And I was like, how do I speed this up? What can I do here? So I just started engaging with people. And I would send, like, if you go through my Twitter DMs, it's got to be like a million DMs. Just like, hey, saw you like Chris Lane on Twitter. I also do music. Check out my cover of this. Rinse and repeat till I got blocked. I'd stay up till 2 a.m. while everyone else was going out. I would sit there and like tweets or respond to people's tweets. If they're like, this new Chris Young album's dope, I'd be like, I love this album. It's really good. And just not spamming people, but just genuinely like engaging with the community. And that seemed to work. I think trying to add value. So mm-hmm. figuring out like, not what do I think is cool or what like is going to boost my ego, but to really say like, what do the people following me want? Is it more music? Is it, you know, and that's not the same for everybody. Like if right. some, I follow some people because they're really good looking. So just a picture of them being good looking is the added value. And that's great. And that's like silly to some people, but it's true. Like you just have to ask yourself, what are you giving? So I figured mine was, you know, through Snapchat stories and Instagram stories, trying to be positive and be funny and just be like actual friends and message everybody back and respond to all the comments. And that was my way. And then doing music and doing covers and eventually putting out my own stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, like that stuff really matters, like engaging and talking and making people feel like they belong in that community. Like I've listened to a couple of podcasts recently that, funny enough, have talked about audience. Mm-hmm. That it's just as much about your audience that you're serving versus like what you're wanting to fulfill for yourself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get it twisted. And I did this at the beginning. You want to put out all this music. You want to do everything. I tell people whenever anybody asks me like, you know, I'm just getting into this. Is there any advice you'd have? I always say like, create the community first mm-hmm. and make them almost guilt them into, when you're in their town, they're like, man, he's giving me so much. I would feel so guilty if I didn't buy a ticket to go see the show. It's like you want to create actual relationships and friendships. Because think about when your best friend asks you to go somewhere, you're like, oh, I love this person so much. So even if I don't want to go to the mall, I'm going to go to the mall with Brittany or whatever. Like, I want to create that. But when I put out a single, they're like, oh, I'm kind of busy, but I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to download it. I'm going to tag a friend. I'm going to do whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's taken a long time. And it's the hard part is like being consistent and reaching out one time isn't going to cut it. Like, can you reach out 3 to 4 times to the same person? Can you remember their name when they come to a show? Like, it's these little things that sound so trite and silly, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, they do make a difference.
Do you remember the first time that you met a fan that like, you really engaged with on your social media platforms and they came to one of your shows and they were like, I loved the cover you did or like.
Yeah, I think I do. I got super lucky and I lied to Chris Lane and told him that I was going to be in Colorado when he was. And so I was like, you know, if you guys need an acoustic opener and he was like, sure, I was not going to be in Colorado. So I bought a flight and then I went out there and did that. And, then from there, he asked me to be on the rest of the tour. He's like, you did great. And we have a lot of fun with you. Super awesome opportunity. And I'm super thankful for that. On that tour, for the first time before that, I'd really like never played shows before. I mean, mm-hmm. I only played like maybe 1 or 2 shows. And so before that, it was like a little bit. And then being on the Chris tour was the first time that like, because I had engaged with so many of his people because we have a similar fan base. So I went out of my way. Again, the example I used earlier, hey, I see you like Chris Lane on Instagram or whatever. Yeah. So I did have a couple people be like, you messaged me in 2012 or whatever it was. And I've listened to every single, I comment on every cover. And I knew these people. I knew their face. I knew their name. I knew who their brother is. Like, that was so crazy to me. And it's really cool. That's my favorite part of it. It's like, I make genuine connections. I have people when I go to their city, they're like, we'll go grab lunch. Because I know these people. And they're a part of my life. And through music, I get to be a part of theirs, which is so cool.
So can you talk about, you know, you toured with Chris Lane, Dustin Lynch, Morgan Wallen, Lanco, Big and Rich, Scotty McCreery, Josh Turner. Those tours, those shows, what did you learn from their performance skills that, like, you kind of adapted to your own set?
Right. That's a great question. I think all those people that you just mentioned have really good songs. And it starts in the writer's room. And so you can have a giant audience, but if you don't have like real genuine good songs, people just won't care and they won't stick around or they'll go get a beer during your set because that's happened to me.
Because it's there.
Yeah, right. And so you have to, again, add value by giving them really good songs. So it definitely pushes me as a songwriter. And I think once you start opening up for some of these people, like I opened up for Dustin Lynch in Sterling, Colorado, and there was 5,000 people there. And at the end of the show, I was like, I wish I had 10 more party songs because that's what that crowd was there to do. They were there to have fun. And so it's a good reminder the next time in the writer's room and I want to write this slow ballady thing. I'm like, okay, what's the purpose of mm-hmm. this? It kind of just points to why and what you're doing. It becomes a North Star, which is super helpful. And those artists are really good at knowing, okay, this Saturday, there's going to be 10,000 people there. I know why they're there. I know what they're looking for, and I'm going to deliver on that. And they're all really authentically themselves, which I think is really cool. They're not trying to be anybody that they're not. And I think people are drawn to authenticity.
For sure. Mm-hmm. One of the like most favorite party songs that you've written that like you then took to the stage and like the crowd loved it.
We have a song off the acoustic mixtape called Till Our Feet Hurt. And it's literally just like dance all night till our feet hurt. And it's just 4 on the floor, drinking song. It's really fun. And I played it like on an Instagram Live or something. And then people were like, where can we get that? So that's always a cool feeling.
Do you feel like Instagram Live is like the new like social media YouTube?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, Instagram for me recently with the IGTV switch has been huge. I started vlogging recently, which has been fun. And I would post a vlog on YouTube and get like 700 views. And then with the IGTV, you can now post it directly to your page with like a minute long preview. So it's basically just like posting to your Instagram page and all your followers can see it. Now I'm getting like 25,000 views. Like that switch for me has been huge because that's my baby. That's where I've built it. And YouTube, the community's harder to build because it's really hard to like slide into YouTube DMs.
Yeah, you know,
it's just not really a thing. So, yeah, Instagram's really changed the game.
Yeah, I don't even think there's DMs on YouTube. It's just like, I think it's just Gmail. I have an inbox, but it's like an inbox about a comment.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's not really, that's just like public.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So let's talk about the new album that came out in April for a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. More.
Yep.
Why was that the title track? Like, was that like an easy decision or was that the theme of the album?
I had a bunch of these songs and I wanted to put them out and I was like, ooh, this kind of makes an album and I like this. And, I started thinking about naming it, and then one of the songs on the album is called More, and I was like, well, I really like that song, but then the more I thought about the word more, it just had a lot of meanings for me. I think for me, I get caught in the overthink zone, and I get so caught up in like, well, nobody's going to like that song, or, you know, is that the hit? Is that the one that's going to break me? And this is my way of saying like, actually, that's not as important as giving more value to the fans. Like, they want more music, so just give them more. Just give them the best you have right now, and don't overthink, and don't judge yourself before you let the audience and the fans judge it for themselves. Because I think we're all so, in this town, jaded and a little mismatched on as listeners and as producers. As listeners, I could have another Sam Hunt song probably once a month. That would be really exciting to me. But to him, he's probably like, okay, we need one single, you know, because that's the one they're going to go to radio with. And so I think the best way to add value is to actually think from the fan perspective. So that's why I was like, I want to give them more. And I think it's also more me. I think when you first get to town, when you first started doing music, it's very easy to just try to be something that you like or something that is working. And then you do it for a while and you realize like, again, that's not really authentic. And so this collection of 9 songs, I think, is the closest. It's not perfect, but I think the closest representation that I've had to me. It's more me.
How long did it take you to kind of find your voice?
Still finding my voice. Yeah. I mean, I when I first started doing it, wanted to be really, really country and do like almost very traditional stuff. But then when I was like alone in my room, the songs I ended up liking, like that I would write, but not really show anybody, had this weird hip hop phrasing, EDM kind of flavor to it. But I was like, oh, nobody would ever do that. And then luckily for me, guys like Floor George Lyon, Sam Hunt, Dan and Shay, Thomas Rhett kind of have come before me and slowly opened this door where I'm like, wait, like I kind of want to do some of that. I still think I have my own twist and flavor, but I got really lucky where it's 2019. If I came to town and, you know, 1994, yeah, probably be run out with pitchforks, but yeah, so it takes a long time for
sure. Well, when you think about like the song Tequila, like it still has a pop element, even mm-hmm. though it's mostly the first time you hear it, it's country song.
Yeah, and it's always funny, the word pop is like popular, right? Like, and so I always think about that, like some people use that as an insult, like you're too poppy. I'm like, my music's too reminiscent of something that would be popular and good. You know what I mean? It's kind of a funny, that's funny to think about. Yeah.
And well, I mean, nothing is like truly original, like they say.
And I think especially as this generation keeps growing up and becomes the next face of music, we didn't grow up with, aisles and record stores. So we didn't have to choose. And by that, we're just this weird mismatch love child of like Jason Aldean meets Justin Timberlake and Eminem and Taylor Swift. And all of a sudden you have this thing that you're like something like Billie Eilish. Like she's so many things and it makes this super unique, weird used in the best way thing that, you know, she would not be in any genre. Like what is Billie Eilish? You know what I mean? Like
she's
Billie Eilish. And what is Sam Hunt? Like the dude is singing these super lyrical story-driven country songs with like tech hats and 808s and bass drops. Like again, that you just can't really call it anything other than what it is. So I think our generation hopefully is going to care less about genre and just like, is this a great song?
Right.
Is this something that you really like? Do you want to add it to your playlist? Great. If not,
is it going to build on what I've already done too?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Writers on this album that you collaborated with for More. Do you like, yeah.
Yeah, we have a...
I got into that question.
I knew exactly what you meant. And I have a bunch of awesome writers on the album. Rob Crosby and I wrote a very special song about my parents. It's called Kept Every Vow. That's on the album, and it means a lot to me. And,
I love it.
Yeah, it's their true love story. They've been together almost 33 years, and so I was just like, right, slow clap it up for the parents.
Yes.
So they're awesome. Rob has written some big old number one songs. So that's kind of fun. My buddy Scott Porter and Taji Bachman are on there. I love those people. Evan Kaufman, Eric Dodd, you know, people who are kind of on the up and up, which is cool for me because I think a lot of people are really concerned about, like, how do I get in the room with Shane McAnally? But they're like missing out on their peers that are going to be the next Shane McAnally. And I feel like the people I'm writing with like are the next thing. So that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, for sure. And is there like a favorite song of yours that you wrote for the album in particular besides the title track?
Probably Kept Every Vow. I mean, yeah. It really is just so personal, and it's my parents' story, and it's had a really cool response. Like, I actually went to a wedding of a friend of mine, and they played it while daughter and the father-in-law danced, which was not traditional, but it was very cool. And people are always messaging me like, that's my parents' story. That's my grandparents' story. Like in the song, like my mom had breast cancer and my dad got laid off. And it just talks about those kind of real things that happen. So
are those most of like the topics for your songs? Like, are they drawn from a primarily personal place, or do you sometimes take them from stories that you've heard from other people? Like, what is your creative process like?
Every song is different. Yeah. And Kept Every Vow is super personal. Something like, let's take, like, Before I Do, like, I don't have the confidence to walk up to a girl and be like, if he don't treat you right, like, he better kiss those lips before I do. I would never do that. That's not me.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool to, like, write in that zone, you know what I mean?
I have a vlog idea for you.
Okay.
You should do that. Just, go around and just walk up
the Before I Do Chronicles.
But just, it's just that, like, just say, like, three words of, like, that line,
right,
and just put a montage together and just get reactions.
That'd actually be a great music video too, because the reaction, like if I was doing it and then the reaction, yeah,
that's cool.
Great.
Yeah,
you get 10% of the 2 cents I make on YouTube. My people will talk to
what
your
about
people
IGTV.
Cool, then you'll still make 0 cents off of that. That's the part of IGTV, you'll get paid nothing.
So lame, but we're gonna get money from them, maybe. Yeah. Your manager, talk mm-hmm. about him for a second.
Yeah.
He's not here,
he's
unfortunately.
Not here. He's in Oklahoma, like he always is. He's not, actually, that's misleading. He lives in Nashville now, but he's the COO of a startup company called Happily, and he's awesome. Jeff and I met, I can never tell the story right, so I'm not going to try, but it's like my mom had a friend of a friend at Jeff's parents' church, and he was managing a guy named Jeff Bethke, who's now a New York Times bestselling author, but at the time they were just college roommates in bunk beds. And Jeff had a viral YouTube video, not my manager, the guy he managed. There's too many Jeffs.
I was like,
why
didn't I know that? Yeah.
And so through that, got asked to be on Good Morning America and the Mike Huckabee Show. And so Jeff stepped in as his manager. And from then on, has just kind of done management work with a bunch of other people. So we had sent him some music. And then we worked together, started working together in like 2014. Nothing really happened for like 2 years. I didn't live here. I was finishing school. He was kind of working with some other bands, working with Jeff a little bit, just starting with Happily, the company he works for now. But then when I got serious about moving here, he followed me like a year later. And I wish a Jeff Cherry upon everyone. He's the Swiss Army knife of people and just genuinely one of my best friends.
Wow,
awesome.
That's a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy that not only is he emailing William Morris to book the show, then he's DMing people to get them to the show. Then he's picking up the band to drive to the show. Then he's sound checking at the show. He's just doing all the things. Yeah.
What would you say about that relationship? Like, have you learned from that? What kind of advice would you offer to an artist that's looking for a manager or feels like they're ready? Like,
yeah, I think it's important to ask yourself, like, do I need a manager? I have a lot of friends in town who just have somebody that's kind of like taking 15% of, like, for what? They're sending like 3 emails a month. So be careful with that. And then just find somebody that's adding so much value to you and your process and going out of their way to go to bat for you, and hopefully find somebody that believes in you just as much as you believe in you. I mean, nobody can really want it and do as much as you can, but find somebody who is as close to that as possible and who is going to run at your speed and who you like find somebody who you like hanging out with, because there's a lot of people in town who might get you on a cool big show, but then when you have to spend 10 hours in a van, you're like, I hate this. So I'm lucky where Jeff is genuinely my best friend, and we just hang out on the weekends, even if we don't have shows.
And it's just like, it's easy.
It's just easy.
To plan things, to collaborate.
Yeah, and even when we're sick of each other, we're like a married couple, we're like, I still love you. I might not agree with you, but I love you, you know?
That's amazing. Advice that you have been given maybe recently about the current season that you're in. Something that somebody said to you that goes with how my...
Right.
What's happening right now in my career.
I get advice to be patient a lot, which is wise. I really love what I do. And even if in this podcast, somebody's like, he seems preachy or whatever, I just love this. I could talk business and music and stuff all day because I found something that I really love. So I pour so much time and effort into this, but by doing that, I want results and I want things to happen. And sometimes those things are out of my control. And so I just need to like sit back and enjoy things a little bit more. I need to celebrate a little bit more. Like, I just had a song that hit like a million streams pretty fast, which for me is like crazy. We've never had that. And like, I made it a point, like we went out and got dinner, me and Jeff and the songwriter on the song, and like just making sure that like, we're not overlooking things. Cause that's dope. And I would have killed to have that even 6 months ago. So not skipping over things, being patient, enjoying the ride, giving myself some time to relax and recharge.
Journey, not the destination.
Yeah. And as cliche as those things are, they're so real. Once you get to that point of needing that truth, you're like, oh, that's why people say that.
Yeah. When you actually have to live through that.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to ask? Was music like always the creative pursuit for you, or was there ever a time where you wanted to pursue something else in entertainment? Do you have other interests in how you've branded yourself?
I do have other interests. Music is my baby. I've built it.
Yeah.
And I love songwriting. My dream would be to like tour, and I would love to kind of do like a Seth Rogen thing. I'm obsessed with comedy and stuff, so I would love to like write and star and direct in movies and stuff. But I kind of need to focus on the music thing and get that off the ground. And then talking about attention, like with attention, doors can start to open. So I'm going to chase down the music thing for now, but I've always been the class clown. I literally was a clown when I was like 12. That was my first paid job, was a birthday party clown. So I'm like always been an attention hog.
When was this?
I was 12 years old. This is real. God. I was paid $15 to be a birthday party clown. I could juggle a unicycle. Then the next year I'm doing puppet shows at recess. Like, I loved entertaining. From like when I was like three, my parents said I'm like standing up on the table and just like singing to the family.
That's amazing.
So one, like most likely to be on SNL in high school. I just love making people laugh and smile. And like, that's kind of always been my thing. So I'd love to get into other things. Eventually, I should probably focus on the music thing now though.
Yeah, you could just start there and build it.
Yeah, I think so.
I had a question come in through a mutual friend of ours.
Okay.
She wants to know, branding yourself in high school.
Branding myself in high school? Who is this friend?
Just tell a story and then I'll tell you who it's from.
Okay. So let's take you on back now.
I'll insert some music there. With that.
A sound effect, if you will. 18 year old Spencer. You know, high school football is life. Might not be Texas, but Colorado football's, people take that very seriously. We were like undefeated the whole season, number one in state. We lost going into state championship to Christian McCaffrey, who scored 5 touchdowns on us, but that's another podcast. Anyway, we were super sad, but also like proud of ourselves. And we were also very drunk at this girl's sweet 16 party. We like hijacked this girl, poor girl's party. Her parents were out of town and the whole football team just like took over this girl's house.
But actually, my first question, why were her parents out of town for her 16th birthday?
They like let her, you know how some parents are like the cool parents. It's like,
oh, my sweet 16. Like,
yeah, they like let her have the party, but were also like mad when they got home. It was weird, but they definitely let her do this. But they didn't know that we were going to hijack their whole kitchen and start branding each other. Anyway, we get there. We're very, very drunk. I was a captain of the football team. My buddy John was a captain of the football team. And we were talking with some of the guys. We're like, we should like commemorate this. One of the guys was like, we should get a tattoo. I was like, I don't know, like high school football tattoo, probably not a great idea. Like, we'll probably regret that. So what we decided would be so much better would to be to brand ourselves. Like, yes, you heard that right. Like cattle, like to brand. So we started off doing it with a bottle cap, but that didn't really work. It didn't really show up. So what we
thought branding marketing, just want to throw it in there. No, it's like the legit
like branding ourselves like cattle. So on my arm, you can barely see mine. If you're at home, I'm showing her.
You can see through this podcast. Small.
So mine is like
it's like a small bruise, guys.
Because the way that I scar, like I've had other shoulder surgeries, you can't really see them. Yeah. I just don't scar very hard. That's not the case for anybody else. Everybody's looks terrible. But again, let's backtrack real quick. So we didn't want to use the bottle cap. We used a chain link because our coach gave us this chain link, like don't be the weak link in the chain. And he would take them from people who got caught drinking and all this stuff. So we all had this chain link. We put it on a hot, like a electric stove. We did not sanitize this. We used the same brand chain link on everybody with pliers from the garage, from this poor girl's house. Shout out to Chloe. I don't remember your last name, but dear God, I'm so sorry. And we did rock, paper, scissors to go first. John went first. I went second. We had a guy who's now in the NFL holding us down. And then we put a towel in our mouths. You had to take like a big pull of whiskey before. And then you just got branded. And I hid it from my parents for like 6 months and it got infected. It was a mess. Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever watched Riverdale?
I have not.
Have you watched it? This feels like a very like PG version of that.
Yeah, it's for some reason we just thought it was the coolest thing. I feel so bad too because they like still do it at my high school, and we've told them like please stop doing this, but they feel like it's a cool tradition. They all look terrible. I've had a buddy who we had one guy who had to get a skin graft because they messed it up and like burned his whole arm. Another guy who had to get laser surgery to like push it down because it was so raised. It was like hurting him. So please, for those at home, learn from my mistake of don't brand yourself. You don't need that. Don't do anything like that. Just be normal.
Just be chill.
Just like take a shot for your football season. That's it. That's
go all you toilet need. Paper tree or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like. That's so fine. You should do that. Not brand yourself. Anyway, that's my way too long brand story. Who asked you? Can I ask?
Jenna Paulette.
Jenna Paulette.
And then the whole cattle thing. Now I'm like,
yeah. See, that's why she liked it, because she brands actual things that need branding. So she knows that like if a 2-ton cow is like screaming, it probably doesn't feel great on a human. So it did not.
She knows.
Yeah.
100%. new music. Do you have new music coming out? Tour dates. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, we're booking a bunch of shows for the fall, and I'm really excited to announce that. So that should be in the next couple weeks. And then new music. We're kind of riding out the album. It's kind of still cooking for us. We've got a song on New Boots right now that's doing well, and we have just really great opportunities through that. So we're kind of waiting to put something out, but we have a lot of stuff in the works that I'm really, really excited about. So hopefully the fall's nice and busy, putting out music, playing shows, all the good things.
In the meantime, where can people follow you, keep up with your vlogs?
Yeah, Instagram at Spencer Crandall. I used to have a Twitter at Spency Boo, but it got suspended. Made it when I was 14. Don't judge me. Again, made a lot of terrible mistakes as a child, apparently. Facebook, Spencer Crandall. Just basically search my name. I'll probably be there. Yeah.
Well, guys, go check it out. Yeah. Spencer, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and write us a review if you have not already. Stay in the loop on latest YEP events by following YEP Nashville and YEP Los Angeles on social media to learn how to get involved in your city. I'm Libby Ulrich, the host of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. Until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.